Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Welcome in to our daily editorial. I hope this one comes out a little clearer on the audio than yesterday's did. That was a little fuzzy, and I apologize for that. I'm not really sure what caused that. Anyway, having said that, I'm going to talk about a couple of topics with Jimmy this morning. We're going to talk, first of all, about the forgiveness of $10,000 of the student loan, which appears is unconstitutional. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the COVID situation, which the Epic Times ran a great article on the COVID. And I just think that everybody needs to be aware of the total picture on both of these deals. You know, Jim, it's clear that the student debt forgiveness was done by the executive branch, even though Congress legally had to do it. The executive branch is really, really pushing it. And the reason they're doing that is Biden is losing favor with a lot of millennials, etc. And these are the people who would fall into this into the category of the loan forgiveness more than any other category. It is, you used the word nefarious when we were talking about this off mic, and I would have to say that very definitely I think you're 100% correct on this one. He's not fishing for votes. He's got the net full of votes, for lack of better terms, as they say in the New Testament. What's your comment, Jim?
Well, I believe that Nancy Pelosi said it best in April. She very clearly articulated that Congress must give debt relief. The executive branch cannot. Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, and the nefarious leader behind the Democratic activities right now. So why would the Biden administration do this when they know, even within public statements from Congress, from congressional Democrats, that they shouldn't be doing it? Well, I think they're doing it in order to actually inflame their young voters, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. They've been losing millennials. Fairly significant numbers of young people are not happy with Joe Biden. So here's a potential way to get someone excited. But more importantly, I think it's really, they may never get it through. They may never get it approved legally. It may not happen. And they may know this. What they think, I believe, what their political agenda is to actually, in the local races and congressional House seats, use this argument that the Republicans are against the youth. Mm-hmm. And the Republicans are against helping out our young people. And then that way they can actually gain some ground politically with the youth. And in spite of Joe Biden's, you know, people not liking him, it really comes down to local races. And those local races will be decided by very interesting arguments. So in this case, the argument would be, well, if you're poor or you're under a certain, you know, income level, you should get your debt relief done. And evil Republicans are trying to take that opportunity away.
Yeah. Well, we're seeing an awful lot of political gerrymandering, and I know gerrymandering is not the right word to use here, but we're seeing an awful lot of political infighting right now. And I think that, quite frankly, regardless of whether or not Pelosi is correct, and I have to assume that she is in this case, you're seeing the Democrats do an awful lot of things to try to ensure that their guy does get elected as reelected, I should say, as president. Going on to another topic that I find to be pretty interesting, you know, when you talk about the various COVID vaccines, I think you have to realize vaccines and boosters, for lack of better terms, you have to realize that we're in an area that is really, really pretty foggy right now. We're in uncharted waters in terms of the way this disease happens to work. My experience was a good experience. in the sense that because of my wife, Kathleen, I did get both of the jabs, and I also got one of the boosters, and I didn't have any problem per se. I did get COVID, though. But it's also interesting to bring up that one of the more popular guests on our program, a physician, also got the vaccines and also got not one but two cases of COVID. So I think the situation with COVID, Jim, you've got some interesting thoughts to say about this, particularly given your research, which included the Epoch Times article. You've got some interesting comments on COVID, both the jabs and the boosters. Go ahead, buddy.
You know, there's people here on the, you know, that are adamant that the boosters or the vaccines help them. And mm-hmm. You're saying the same argument right now. But here's the problem.
I'm saying I don't know. I'm just saying my.
No, I know. I'm just talking about the overall argument because people are making this argument. So we know for a fact that there was no long-term testing for this shot. No.
Right. Correct.
We know for a fact that the ramifications, that the impact to people are negative impact to people are much higher than routine vaccinations that have gone through 7, 8, 9, 10 years worth of trial. We know mm-hmm. that. This is fact. You can't argue with those issues. what we don't know is if you, by getting the vaccine, made your case of COVID less impactful than if you would have had the vaccine, if you wouldn't have had the shot. That's it. You can't prove that.
No.
And there's no studies to actually prove that. And that's another fact. But what we're seeing now in, according to, there is a very interesting Epoch Times article that basically goes through and identifies in 25 states in the United States by looking at data that was published by their health departments mm-hmm. and by actually doing FOIA requests and getting more data that was not readily available to the average person, that the numbers of people with COVID, the cases of COVID, are actually higher for people that are vaccinated than an unvaccinated. And in some cases, in some of the states, the number of deaths are higher mm-hmm. relative to people that have been vaccinated to people that are unvaccinated, and the number of hospitalizations. And those are very specific. In Kentucky, for one example, 67% of the deaths were among the vaccinated. And then 65% were the cases, and 64% of hospitalizations in Wisconsin. Now, the argument is, well, you have to adjust for age in order to look at the impact. Well, we've always known that COVID actually affects the elderly much mm-hmm. more, mm-hmm. Much more dangerously. In fact, way more than young people. In fact, there's almost negligible impact to young people at all, even though they continue to push the vaccinations even now to 6 months old and above.
Right.
So the question becomes, in the long term, with studies, will the facts actually show that we may have done as much damage for vaccinated people than we did with unvaccinated? Mm-hmm. If you include the unrelated COVID deaths that may be related, so not related to COVID, but maybe related to the vaccinations. And it's going to take quite a long time to identify that. But bottom line is, there is a lot more science, a lot more information, a lot more data coming out that shows that this was an experiment at a grand scale that may not have the intended impact and may be more damaging, potentially more damaging, than the actual virus itself.
Well, I don't think anybody can argue that fact. I mean, I had a good experience and some other people didn't have a good experience, but then that's really all I can say about that. I would say
let me just follow up with one little point on this. So a lot of people, look, when we talk about this, we're not talking about half the people have a bad experience and half the people have a good experience. What we're talking about is small percentages that have a very bad experience and a very small percentage that potentially die that are vaccinated.
Yeah.
But the relative number of those and of course, negative impact and deaths relative to the number of people vaccinated is something you have to look at. If you get a vaccination for, smallpox which is the crazy thing, the monkeypox thing going on now, yeah. Or maybe some of these other, some other long-term tested vaccinations, which, you know, I have literally 3 pages of vaccinations from my military right. service, not afraid of vaccinations, if they've gone through the process. But what you're talking about is really the difference of between a well-tried vaccination and one that doesn't actually work. And if you go back to what happened with the government and the number of people that were negatively impacted by the Legionnaire's disease mm-hmm. vaccination that they attempted to push in the 70s in the same method, you find that it was actually not a large percentage of people were hurt by the vaccinations, but there was a percentage that above the standards that we would be accepting and tolerant of. And what we're seeing now is those numbers, that percentage, so maybe 90%, 95% of the people have no negative reaction. 5% is huge.
Mm.
If it's like 0.01%, that's tolerable. If it's 1%, that is typically not tolerable. And it's not safe and effective. That based on previous statistics and examples. So somehow this virus that has very little impact on young people, that has had little testing, little knowledge about it when it first came forward, which was probably created by experiments funded by U.S. National Institute of Health, and the damage that's being done in the effort to both lock down people as well as to force vaccinations, the number of job losses, the number of suicides, the number of possible heart problems that have come from the vaccination. We're talking about a very, very significant impact, much more than what would typically be acceptable with any type of vaccination
program. I agree 100%, Jimmy, but I want to say one thing. You're leaving out the most important factor, and that is, in my opinion, the lockdowns are really overall to the United States as a country as a whole absolutely tore apart our economy, and there's no question about that. Down suicide rates, as you mentioned, right, went up significantly. Alcohol abuse rates went up significantly. Street drug rates went up significantly, et cetera, et cetera. The impact, the overall impact on America of the lockdowns, of the school lockdowns in particular, were absolutely detrimental with a capital D to our country.
No, I agree completely, and that will have the longest lasting negative effect right. in the nation. And it's really hurting the overall standing of the United States' ability to, you know, defend itself and to be maintain its position as a right. world leader right. of, you know, in the both rule of law, because we've lost that. And it is an example of, good science and good solid, example to the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So our justification mm-hmm. is fading absolutely immensely with this administration, this regime, and the bureaucrats that have taken over control of our elected representatives in right. our government.
Right. No question about that. Listen, I want to wrap this up by saying I'm very proud of Irish Tony. I'm very proud of Out of the Box. I'm very proud of CFS. You guys are providing Ebelon, et cetera, more people. You guys are providing wonderful, wonderful comments. The real strength of this website happens to be the comments that we're getting from people like yourself. Jim and I are going to be re-interviewing Pat Nolan this afternoon. Pat is the retired deputy sheriff from Los Angeles, who also is an elected politician on the conservative side of the aisle in California. We're going to be chatting with him this afternoon, and we're going to put that particular interview basically on the weekend radio show. Very important to listen to what Pat has to say, because he definitely represents the horse's mouth when it comes to law enforcement officers. Jimmy, thank you so much for your time, bud.
You bet, Al.
Okay, talk to you in about 3 hours.
find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics. We will be back next week.